Did you notice what our scripture reading was this morning? I'll bet you've just about got Exodus 20 memorized, haven't you? Yeah. We went over that bad boy, didn't we? Yeah, because we wanted to get into our heads those Ten Commandments. And so we've spent a number of weeks going over those, going over each one of them in detail. And today, I want to think about bridging from them, because we've been looking at them, and I want to look now a little bit at end time events. I want to look at the last days. And so today we are beginning to think about last day things. And so we had our scripture reading this morning from Revelation chapter 12, if you still have your Bible open there. Take a look, Revelation chapter 12. This is sometimes a kind of a scary section here. You know, what with dragons chasing people around and stuff. It's, a little scary. I've seen some mini dragons. When I was bicycling, there's a little pond on the side of the bike path where this gator came down into that pond. And I'm telling you, Once I learned how fast those bad boys are, because we actually stopped our bicycle. We had a tandem, and we're on a tandem, right? Like, it takes you 3 days to get started on a tandem. And so we're standing there, and that pond isn't very wide. Probably the middle of the pond's where the door is there, right? He's on the far side, and we stopped. It was like, we're first timers in Florida, so this was our first mini dragon. And we saw him over on the other side of the pond, and we're like, hey, there's a gator, man. Put on the brakes, got off, and I'm standing there looking at this thing, right? He slides off, gets into the middle of the pond. I had no clue how much danger I was in. And so I'm standing there just chatting with this thing, and he's looking at me. Only I found out from the ranger later, it wasn't a he, it was a she, and it had just had babies. Don't mess with Mama Gator. So fortunately, we got back on our bike. 3 days later, we got started, got down the pet trail. And we talked with the guy, and he said, yeah, on a short distance, they can outrun a horse. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure I can outrun a horse on my bicycle. I'm not going to outrun one of those guys. And so here we are looking at Revelation 12, the end of it here. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That doesn't sound like fun. To me, anyway. Does it to you? I'm not real keen on this whole persecution thing. I don't know. It just doesn't ring my bell. Not excited about it. Fortunately, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for how long? Time and times and half a time. Yeah, we know that as several other things too. What other lengths of time do we know that as? 42 months. We know it as 42 months and 1260 days or 1260 years, right? And so she was nourished from the presence of the serpent. That's good. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And so we find here a little bit of history of the church, and then we come to verse 17. And the dragon was mildly upset. Is that what it says? Mildly upset. No? What was it? Wroth or enraged. Enraged. We talk about rage today on the roadways, huh? It's where you forget to use your signal, and I know you forgot, you really meant to, but you forgot to use your signal, and you know, you thought you looked in the mirror, but you didn't see the guy, he was in your blind spot, and you moved over in front of him, and then what happens? Right? And then he starts speaking in sign language to you. Right? And you hope he doesn't have anything else. Right? Road rage. Wonder what it's like to enrage a dragon. And he went off to do what? To make war. War doesn't sound like it's too much fun either, does it? To make war. Are we ready for war? To make war with the rest of her offspring. And who are these people? Look at this. The offspring, the rest of the offspring, or the remnant who keep what? The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I just wonder this morning, as we look at this, are we that last day people? Are we that last day people? Are you sure? Are you positive? How do you know? How do you know whether we're that last day people? Could you, if I handed you my Bible here, maybe my Bible you could, because I've marked stuff in it. But if I handed you a different Bible, could you take me on a study through and show me why we're the last day people? Keep the Ten Commandments. That's one of them. Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's exactly it. This people keep the commandments. Are we that commandment-keeping people? That's going to be important to it, isn't it? Because somebody's watching. And I don't mean the NSA. Well, they might be too, but... There are neighbors, friends, co-workers, people around you are watching. Are you the commandment-keeping people of God? Am I? What does my neighbor see? What does he see as I'm out in my yard? What does he see if he glances over at my house and my TV's on? What's he watching? What's on? What does the preacher watch? Everybody in my neighborhood knows I'm a preacher, you know? It's like, oh boy, close the blinds, we're watching something that's, you know. Is that what we do? Is that what we do? We want to make sure that we're commandment-keeping, appearing people? Is that how it works? Or are we seriously commandment-keeping people? If we are, people will know, right? That's one of the characteristics. They keep the commandments of God. It also says that they have something else. What do they have? Testimony of Jesus Christ. Where's that verse that talks about that? Revelation chapter... Come on, I know all you guys know this. 19... Revelation chapter 19, check it out with me. Revelation chapter 19, are you with me? Turn in there, come on now. I hear angels' wings fluttering, right? Revelation 19 and verse 10. Revelation 19 and verse 10, and I fell down at his feet. Okay, who's falling down? John, yes. John, and whose feet is he falling down at? The angel. He's falling down at the angel's feet to worship him. But he, the angel, said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am of your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus." Worship whom? God, absolutely. For the testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy. And so this last day, remnant people would have the spirit of prophecy. Brothers and sisters, may I encourage you to be reading spirit of prophecy. Because God has special messages there for that last day people. God has good things there for us. Good things that He wants to share with us. Things that are specifically focused for that last day people. God has good things for us. But we talked about something else back there. Something else there in Revelation 12, verse 14. What did we talk about? Remember, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, right? To her place where she is nourished. How long? Time and times and half a time, which we said was 42 months and 1,260 days or 1,260 years. And so sometime after that, the 1,260-year period was from 538 to 1798. General Berthier, right, came and captured the Pope, and there we are, the end of that 1,260-day period, right? And so sometime after that, we would find this remnant people. So we know that this is the remnant church because it arose after 1798, yes? It's a commandment-keeping people. By the way, you're here on what day? Sabbath. On Sabbath. How come? I mean, one day is as good as the next, right? No? Why not? Yeah. It's important. Gentlemen, if you don't believe me, just forget your anniversary once. Then you'll know how important some of those things are, right? That's right. Got to remember those things. And so, the timing was important, keeping the commandments, and spirit of prophecy. So we see here the indications that this church is God's last day church. But why do we need to explain it? I mean, why is this even important? Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Are you with me? Knowing this first, that scoffers will come when? Haven't there been scoffers all along? Come on. Yes. But what's so special now? Is it that they exist, or is it the frequency, the total coverage of them? Kind of like earthquakes. There have always been earthquakes, but they continue now to go nuts, just earthquake after earthquake. Where was the most recent one? In the Philippines, huh? Yes, the most recent. Devastating. Who in our lifetime, 50 years ago, had heard about 7.2 earthquakes? Hardly ever. Now it's almost a monthly occurrence, isn't it? It is just so constant and continuous. It is amazing. And so here it is, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Scoffers in the last days. Oh, that's not going to happen. Jesus coming, we don't know when that is. Just this week, I had someone tell me, yeah, but these things have been going on. We never know when Jesus is coming. I had somebody just say that to me this week. We have no idea. How do we know what signs are there? We don't know anything about it. Read your Bible. It's there. God's last day people are here. All the signs are fulfilling. God is moving in this world right now. Right now, God is making things happen. And so, scoffers will come. Remnant, they say. Who's to say who the remnant is? What's the remnant anyway, they say? What is that all about? You think you're so special? You think you're so special? Every church thinks it's special. What makes you different? And if you think you're so right, what are you saying about everybody else? That they're all wrong? Is that it? Is that what you want to say? Is that what we believe? Do we believe that the mark of the beast is a happening thing right now? Is that what we believe? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We disagree with that. And so does Spirit of Prophecy. And we need to remember that in every communion out there, every communion, there are people who love God. They love God a whole bunch. There are probably some people out there that are closer to God than maybe I am. That's possible. But they just haven't got all the light yet, right? And so we're accused of exclusivity, but we're not trying to exclude anyone. But there are scoffers out there who want to throw rocks at the church, you know? We know there are God-fearing people out there. But inside also, we have people who disagree with us. Turn with me again to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Scoffers in the last days, and then something else. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. You with me? But know this, that in the last days, yes, good. In the last days, what is going to happen? Perilous times. There are perilous times in these last days. Why? Why are these perilous times? Look at verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves. Is that true? Is that true today? Haven't there always been men who've been lovers of themselves? Yes, but it's the widespread nature now, right? It's the widespread nature. Lovers of money. Haven't there always been lovers of money? Sure. But now it seems like we have a whole nation full of people who worship dead presidents. Right? That's it. It's all about the dead presidents. They're going to burn up someday, huh? That's it. And so here they are, these people who love themselves. They love money. And then it says, that they are proud or boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Does that sound like commandment breaking to you? Unholy, unloving, unforgiven, slanderers, without self-control, brutal. Have you noticed the brutalization of our society? Oh, gotta like it when we put women in cages to fight. Ooh, let's watch that. That's entertainment. What? Since when? Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that happen? Having what? Verse 5. A form of godliness but denying the power. There are people who want to deny that God's power is working through His church. They're denying the power of God. And so they call the church Babylon or say that we've walked away from what God wants us to be. I disagree. This is God's remnant people, God's commandment-keeping remnant people. That's why we're here today. That's who we are. That's what we're all about. We have those commandments and the testimony of Jesus. That's what we do. And so these last days are very perilous. From without, we have people saying, oh, you think you're the only ones right. And from within, we have people saying, you're not right at all. What do you do? And why is that? Why is that? Last days, huh? And if we go back to Revelation chapter 12 again, remember, who is the accuser of the brethren? Who is that? The devil and Satan, that's right. And we find in Revelation 12, 17 from today's scripture, and the dragon was wroth. The dragon was enraged. He is not happy. He's going to attack us from every direction with everything he's got. This is not playing around. This is happening, and it's happening now. This is the last days. We are in them today. But you know that remnant people have one more thing they have to do. One more way we can identify them. Look at chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who do what? Keep the commandments of God. Yes? Keep the commandments of God. Does that sound familiar from Revelation 12, 17? Right? And then they keep the commandments of God and also the faith of whom? Jesus. So we have this same group having the commandments of God and a relationship with Jesus. These two things coming together in this people in a way that the world has not seen for a long time, because this is the remnant. What's at the end that's like what was at the beginning? Keeping the commandments and the faith of Jesus. We have both going on there. And so here they are. They're delivering this message that has in it the commandments. Take a look at verse 7. Take a look at verse 7 of chapter 14. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment. What do you judge by? What do you judge by? If you're going to do judgment, what's it by? By the law, right? You're going to judge by what you've said. We had our grandchildren over this last night. Had our grandchildren over last night. And so, you know how it is. Get your teeth all brushed, have worship and everything. Okay, time for bed. So everybody heads for bed, and then, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I need a drink of water. Oh, let's do this. No, wait. It's bedtime, right, Tristan? Yeah. It's bedtime. Now, if I hadn't said it was bedtime, if I hadn't made the rule, he could go and run around and do whatever he wanted, right? Within reason. I love his expressions. It's great. You should see it from my perspective. It's fun. But once we said it's time for bed, then time for bed, right? God has commandments, yes? God has a law. That law is the basis of judgment. He's not just going to make something up willy-nilly and say, oh, I like you, I don't like you. What? God is a reasonable God, isn't he? And so he judges according to the law. And the message of this last day people, our message, is the everlasting gospel, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Wait, has come? What tense is that? past tense, right? In other words, it's already here. It's here. We are in the last days, yes? This is now. This is not someday in the future. Oh boy, if we just kind of hide in a closet quietly, it'll go by without us. Because that's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so they have a message. Verse 8, and another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. How do you know fallen if you didn't have something upright? Right? In order to have fallen, commandments had to have been violated. Verse 9, then a third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark. And we know the mark brings out a relationship to the Ten Commandments, specifically the Sabbath commandment, yes? Specifically the Sabbath, because God claims the Sabbath as his seal of authority, yes? And so we have God claiming the seal of authority, but the beast has his mark as well. And so God's seal of authority is the Sabbath, the commandments. And so each one of these three angels, each one of these messages is a message that incorporates something about the commandments. You may remember Daniel talking about a fellow named Cyrus. Do you remember that? Allowed the Jewish people to return to their homeland, right? Do you know who told the Jews that somebody named Cyrus was going to be doing this? That was prophesied, you know, before he was there. Isaiah had a prophecy about Cyrus. Isaiah told about Cyrus in chapter 44 and 45 of his book. And in fact, he even named Cyrus by name. Yeah, but it was like, you know, a week before. Is that what it was?
No.
No way. It was 150 years before he even became king. 150 years, and he named him by name. Is God sovereign? Absolutely. God knows what he's doing. I wonder what would happen if 150 years ago, Ellen White had named you specifically to say you were going to do great things for God by name. What would you do? Turn and run? What would you do? If 150 years, some quick mathematician, Darren, 2013 minus 150. I caught him busy with something else there, sorry. But you were so sharp, man, that I knew you could, huh? There he is, 1863. See, I knew I could count on you, man. 1863, he's way faster at math than I am, even though I taught it. I had eighth graders who could do their math tables faster than me. Okay, one. He was a really bright kid. He's a PhD in mechanical engineering now. Really bright guy. 1863. What happened in our church in 1863? We organized. That's right. We became an organized church in 1863. And we took the name Seventh-day Adventist. We were named by name 150 years ago to preach the everlasting gospel, to tell about the Sabbath, to tell about the soon coming of Jesus, to be the remnant people who had the commandments and the faith of Jesus. That is our job, named for us 150 years ago. Brothers and sisters, Cyrus has nothing on us. What about it? Are we up for the task? You see, we can have confidence in who we are and what our mission is. We are God's remnant people. Does that mean other people aren't good? You already heard me say that's not true. There are good people. But God has led this church specifically to this place. The future is now. God is moving now. God is making things happen today. And He wants the Lakeland Church to be a part of that. Are we ready to see God's power in action? You have a little save the date flyer opportunity as you leave today to give these to people that you know, people near you, people far away, whatever. Okay, people who can at least get here. Not your cousin in Timbuktu, okay? Because they probably won't make it. But December 14, we have that going on. And then we're also going to make available to you a little folded invitation. A little of an invitation for our new song evangelistic series coming up. And it's got on the inside the list of nightly topics, right? On the back, boy, we're so high tech now, man. Got another one of the little cool QR codes there. And for those who don't have that kind of phone, we can do the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church, 1435 Gilmore Avenue, the address right there. You're invited to take one of these. You don't have to. It's okay. But you're invited to take one of these. But I don't want you to just take it home and go, ooh, this is cool, I'll put it on my fridge. No. This is not for your fridge. It's for your neighbor's fridge. Okay? This is for your neighbor's fridge. So the idea is that you give this to your neighbor. All right? Because we don't have a whole ton of them. All right? But you can give these to your neighbor so that they can be ready for this event as well. Because we need to be about the work of the last day people in the last day. Yes? This is who we are. This is what we do. We do not just come to church once a week, yawn and go, oh boy, I'm glad that's over. Okay, we might do that too, but then we go about God's work. We go about God's work because that's who we are. And so we are giving you opportunities to do that with these, but there are other ways too. Pray that God will open opportunities for you. Brothers and sisters, if we don't give this message, where are we? This is a message for the last day, the remnant people to give. That's what we need to be about. Our Father's business. And so, I want to see God's power in action. Do you? Let's give Him a chance to act. Let's give Him that opportunity. He's ready to move. Are we? That's the question.